Romans 13:11 through 14. And do this understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh.
Good morning. Did you ever oversleep? Ever show up late for church? You think you snuck in today and nobody noticed that you were late? No, you know, we have cameras out there looking for that sort of thing. Yeah, we've probably all had that happen once or twice. Have you ever missed an important meeting or appointment that you have? Do you ever have anybody wake you up with the words, "Do you know what time it is?" And you just have that shock and that startling effect where you're like, "Oh, what have I forgotten now?" You know, sometimes we just lose track of the time. Maybe that's happened to you, where you've just lost track of the time. When I was a little kid, about seven, I think, across the street from our house, they just put in a school built where there had been a farm, but next to the school there was this big vacant area that was like the frontier to us kids. It was like the frontier out there. And we had a good rain that spring, and so the frontier became the swamp. You know, it was like the Everglades to go across the street and to play out there. And I was out there with my friends, and, you know, it was just probably some weeds and some big puddles and some standing water, but it was like being in the swamp. And this older guy said, "Hey, there's some stuff over there, and you got to come see it. You got to bring a bucket with you." So we all brought our buckets, and we were wading out there in the mud and in these puddles, and there were these things swimming around in them. And they said, "You know what? These things, you take these in these buckets, you take them home, they're going to turn into frogs." I thought, how awesome is that? I'd never seen these tadpole things before. So then we were loading up our buckets and walking around in the mud. And I remember just getting so caught up in that. And eventually, you know, people left, different guys went home, and finally I had my bucket full, and I was so excited. So I thought, what could be better than having a big bucket full of things that'll turn into frogs? And I went home, and as I started home, it hit me then that it was dark. Well, I wasn't supposed to be out after dark, and I thought, oh no, what's going to happen to me now? And I remember walking up to the door, and this, I still remember, so the door was locked. The door was never locked. The side door of our house was never locked. And the door was locked. I thought, what's going on? And I was really afraid of what was going to happen. And I knocked on the door. I didn't know, is my mom going to spank me or hug me or something in between? And she told me years later, she said, "You looked so proud that I couldn't do anything. I couldn't get you. You know, you weren't in trouble. You escaped because you looked so proud standing there holding your bucket, you know, of polywogs." But I think somewhere, you know, between her desperation and her thanksgiving that I was home, she probably said something like, "Do you know what time it is? Do you know what time it is? Do you know how late it's gotten?" It was 12, 13 years later. I was standing on the front porch of Ellen's uncle's house in Hawthorne, and we'd just gone out on our second date. It was sort of a date. We went to some church activity and then got a Coke, and then I took her home, and we stood out on the porch and talked and talked and talked and talked and talked and talked. And then we were just standing out there on the porch talking, and the phone rang inside. And her uncle kind of brought the phone over to the door. He was kind of sleepy, I noticed, when he got to the door. And, you know, this was before, like, cordless phones. So I'm having to, you know, go to the door and grab a hold of the phone from him. And I heard that same voice I'd heard 12 or 13 years earlier saying, "Do you know what time it is?" And unfortunately, this time I did know what time it was, because on my way to the door, I looked at my watch, and it was 3:30 a.m. Sometimes you lose track of the time. My dad and I were on the trip of a lifetime. It was just a short trip, but we were off to LAX. It was Thanksgiving night, 1969, and we were going to go back to Indiana for a long weekend. My mom worked for Continental, so we could fly for free. And we got dropped off at the airport kind of early, so mom could go home and go to bed. We got all checked in, got down to the gate area, and we were just dreaming of this trip. We were going back to Indiana. I'd never gone back there in the wintertime to be at Grandma and Grandpa's house in the wintertime. And there was snow, we were told. And my uncle was this hunter and had all these dogs to go hunting, you know, and we were going hunting that weekend. And it was just going to be the coolest trip to go with my dad to go do something like this. And we were waiting at the gate, and we had so much time to kill, we decided to get something to eat because the turkey was wearing off. And so we looked for a place to get a snack, and everything was closed out there at the gates. It was so late. Back then, you know, you could walk all the way back to the front of the terminal, which we did. That was the first place we could find anything open. It was way back at the very front, all the way down that long hallway and back to the front of the terminal, and all they had was hot dogs. And so we got these hot dogs that were like, you know, microwaved, although I don't know if microwaves were invented then. I don't know if they were microwaved or what, but they weren't very good. But at least, you know, we were joking and laughing, and we walked back to the gate. And, you know, we hadn't heard any announcements or anything, and we got back to the gate area, and the gate area is empty. There's a lady standing behind the counter, and we run over to the counter, and we say, "What's going on?" And she looked at us as if to say, "Don't you know what time it is? Don't you know what time your flight was leaving?" And she said, "I'm sorry. They're in the plane. The door is closed. They're pulling away from the jetway." Sometimes it's really important to know what time it is. Losing track of the time or not knowing what time it is can really have an impact on your life. And it's especially helpful to know what time it is spiritually in your life and spiritually in this world. In Romans chapter 12 and 13, after 11 amazing chapters, the Apostle Paul talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, justified by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, baptized and raised up with Jesus Christ to new life, the Holy Spirit sent within us, a love of God that will never let us go. Paul begins to make some application of that gospel in chapters 12 and 13 with some very practical exhortations about this new life in Christ. These are chapters that are familiar with us. He starts out talking about being living sacrifices and giving up our bodies in service to God Himself, that we are members of the body of Christ, that we belong to one another, and that we have a responsibility to use our gifts toward one another and for the kingdom of God, that we are to live a life of love, he says, starting about verse 9, and we're to be haters of things that are evil, but we're to cling to the things that are good, and we're to love one another, we're to care for one another, we're to be joyful and patient in our troubles, and to be faithful to God in all things, faithful in prayer. We're to bless the people who persecute us, we're to rejoice with those that rejoice and mourn with those that mourn. And we are not to repay evil for evil to anyone, and not to take revenge, that's God's doing, but we are to overcome evil with good. And the only debt that we're allowed to maintain long term is the debt to love one another, because it is a debt that can never be fully paid. It is, in fact, in loving one another that we keep the entire law of God. Quite a summary of the Christian life in those two chapters. Read through those two chapters this afternoon if it's been a while and see all that Paul touches on in such a short span of space. But he basically tells us that we should live this way for two reasons in the text. First of all, this change that we are to experience is based, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul starts out this section by saying, "Therefore, brothers, I urge you, in view of the mercy of God." Paul's saying, I'm going to tell you how to live, and I'm telling you this is how you should live because of the way God has been merciful toward you, the way that God's forgiven you of your sins, the way that God has sent the Spirit within you. Look at what God has done to save you through Jesus Christ. And in response to His mercy, this is how you ought to live. But then at the very end of this section, in chapter 13, and beginning at verse 11, Paul ends the section by telling us why we ought to do everything that he's just said in chapters 12 and 13. We do it because of the mercy of God, but then he says something quite specific here in verse 11. He says, and do this. This is the summary of all those two chapters, and he's saying this is why you ought to live this way. Do this, understanding the present time. Paul says, you need to know when you are. You need to understand the time in which we live. You need to understand the spiritual setting for our lives. The hour has come. Notice all the references to time here. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night's nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Paul says you need to understand the present time. That's why you should live in this new way, because of the times in which we live. And Paul talks about this very interesting time in which we find ourselves. It's like an in-between time. There's something new that's happening, but the old thing is still kind of around, and it's kind of a very strange time to find ourselves living in this relationship with God. Paul talks about the old, the darkness, and in this passage he talks about darkness, that we've been in the darkness. There's this old age, this age of the world, this age that Christ has overcome by his death and resurrection, and it's the old life, it's the old age, it's the old sin, it's the old flesh, it's that old part of us, but Christ has triumphed over that. Christ is putting the darkness to death, and Christ is bringing new heavens and new earth, and the present age is passing away, and God is bringing light and life and immortality to light through Jesus Christ. And we have the new day. We have the light that has come. We live in a new time when Christ reigns, a time when the Holy Spirit has been poured out, and Christ has ascended to glory at the right hand of God himself. And we are awaiting this fullness to arrive, this fullness of the new age when Jesus comes back. But in the meantime, we kind of live in a time where the old thing is still around. The world is still here and Satan is still active. But at the same time, Jesus has come and he's been raised and glorified, and we live with the power of the Holy Spirit. We live in the age of the kingdom of God, and we find ourselves kind of living in both of these. This new age, an age of light in the kingdom of God. But its brightness is sometimes obscured by the fact that this dark present world with Satan and sin still continue, but one day it will completely vanish away. One day the darkness will be gone forever, and there will only be light remaining when our Lord and Savior comes back. But in the meantime, we find ourselves living in a very strange place. And I don't mean Southern California, though that can be kind of a strange place to live. I'm not talking about where we live. I'm talking about when we live, because we live in this strange realm of already, but not yet. The kingdom of God has come, but the world is still standing, and Satan is still active, and sin is still around, and temptation and death are still, but Christ has been glorified at the right hand of God, and he rules, and he has all authority. It hasn't completely come to consummation as it will when Jesus Christ returns to make his kingdom, displace all of the kingdoms forever and always. We live in kind of this in-between time where the decisive acts of salvation have taken place. Jesus has come. He was born of a virgin. He ministered on this earth. He died. He was raised. He ascended. He was glorified. He's poured out the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God has come. The gospel is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. There's nothing left on God's calendar, essentially, but the return of Jesus to bring everything to its close. And so we live at this brink of a new age, this moment in time where the sun is just... it's coming up, and the new age is dawning, and the old night is going away, but the vestiges of that night are still around, and it still kind of pulls at us. But the night is over, and the sun is rising, and Paul says, this is when you live. This is the time spiritually in which you find yourselves now in the kingdom of God. So how do we respond to it? What's the point? What is he getting at? And Paul is pretty clear in these verses about what this means. He says, first of all, you got to wake up. It's time to wake up. You know, the alarm has gone off. It's time to wake up. It's time to get up. It's time to shake off any complacency that you might have about life. It's time to wake up. It's time to take off your night clothes. It's time to take off the clothes of darkness and to be clothed in the light of Jesus Christ. It's time to put on the armor of light and live as a child of light. We live in a new time and we live in a new way because of that. And so we are to step into this sunrise, this just moment of the beginning of this new age. While the darkness is just still on the right there on the hill, but the light of Christ has dawned nonetheless. And that's where you and I find ourselves. And in the meantime, what we're called upon to do as the children of light, as those who are clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ himself, is to live in this present world with an awareness of when we are and what that means. And that it means we are to be light and a part of the force of light and good over the darkness that still pulls people away from God. Because we've stepped into the kingdom and we're a part of the kingdom of light and we're clothed with the armor of light. So that as you and I look at our lives and we consider the way that we live, it ought to reflect when we live. In terms of our personal morality, just who we are in terms of our moral choices, our purity, our holiness. When do we live? We live in the age of the light. We Paul says you put the evil behind, you get rid of that, you move on from that. That belongs to the old realm. We're not part of that anymore. We've crossed into a new time. In Christ we have stepped into the light of the good news and the light of the holiness of God. And yet we know that the darkness is still always around us. How many things pull at us? How many things tempt us to participate in some small way even in things that are dark? Sometimes it's just even the television shows that are on or the conversations that we hear at work, things that shouldn't be said or shouldn't be done. Elle and I were watching a program the other night and something happened on the program and we looked at each other and we just said, you know, I'm not going to watch this program anymore. We're not going to watch that program anymore. It crossed a line. That crossed a moral line that we don't need to be seeing. We don't need to. And you know, sometimes it's just so easy because you know, we all know the subtle progression that Satan makes in this world, that we can get pulled into things that are of the darkness, and they're just right on the edge. And Paul says, no, it's time to wake up and you leave that behind. If you have influences in your life that are causing to stir up some desire that's of that former realm, Paul says, deal with that. Repent of it. Turn from it. Don't allow that to take root in your life. Don't you know when you live? You live at a time when you wake up and you are alert and you don't flirt with the darkness any longer. I think of when we are, how it relates to our lives as far as the way we spend our time, our resources, the gifts that we have. And as I think about it, it seemed to me to be a couple of ways that we may struggle at times. One is that we can get overcommitted to things of the world to such a point that we don't have time for the kingdom. We don't have time to spend with God. We don't have time to serve or to minister, to be involved with people, to help one another, to minister to one another within the body of Christ, because we're just overscheduled with so many work responsibilities and things that have to be done and projects that we have and goals that we've set. And sometimes we forget what time it is. We lose track of the time. We forget what's really important, and we give our attention to lesser things when we've missed what's really important in life. But the other component that goes along with that is that I think sometimes we make this distinction in our thinking between that world, the world of work, the world of career, the world out there that I have all those responsibilities in, and then my life with God. I think maybe God would like us to think of, what time is it where you work? How do the times, how does this particular time impact your relationships with people in the world? Because if we take this spiritual reality and lay it over all of the events in our life and all the people we know, and our work life and everything that's going on in our life, how important it is to recognize that that person working at the next cubicle or the next desk is going through the breakup of their home and their family. And here am I as a Christian, someone who's a part of the kingdom of God, someone who's been given the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here I am in a work situation and somebody who needs that word of hope, who needs to find a way through. Maybe it's the guy who's working next to me and his life is falling apart through some addiction or something. Or, you know, it's that customer that comes in all just so faithful as a customer. And they've lost someone who's dear to them, and they're in the process of grief and bereavement. And to see all of our life in view of the time in which we live, to see that when we go to work, it isn't about all of those other things so much. Those things have to get done. We've got our responsibilities. But God takes me to my work. God takes me to my neighborhood and says, Richard, you see what time it is for these people? You see the time in which we're living? You see the opportunity I'm giving you to do something meaningful to them? And that helps us have such a different perspective about those times that we aren't able to be with one another, aren't able to be maybe involved in something, like those of you who couldn't be here Friday because you were working, and you maybe at work to see that the person you're working with, or that there's a student that's there that just really needs to know the love of God where you're teaching, that we just take the time in which we live, these times as already not yet living in the kingdom, and overlay it over all aspects of our life and recognize the opportunities that God's giving us to serve. You know, Ron talked about it a few moments ago, about how in the world sometimes it's like, you know, you're like being a part of the world, or spend so much of our time in the world, and that's how it is so often for us. But how about if we could take this truth of the time in which we live and overlay that into the situation where you find yourself? I think it'll take some boldness on our part. It'll take some prayer on our part to really start asking God to give us wisdom and discernment to know how to interact better with the people that are around us every day. But to be able to do that, because we know what time it is. And there's another element here, the element of urgency, especially for people we know who aren't Christians. There's an element of real urgency here. The sun is rising. It's coming. It's happening now. We are at the last moment. We don't know when that final moment will come. There's definitely a sense of urgency about sharing the message of light, the message of Christ to people who don't know Him. How many of us want to stand before God on that day and explain why we never even talked to our friend about the Lord? We never got to that conversation. We never recognized what time it was. We lost track of the time. And we did this with them, and we went there with them, and we had that experience with them, but we never really opened up the conversation about faith. It's so important for us to recognize the time in which we live. As we raise up our families, to recognize that our children are growing up in two ages. There's this present world, and Satan works overtime all the time to indoctrinate, to fill their minds, to pull them into that mold. And as parents, we've got to be so devoted to teaching and training our children and bringing them up with faith in Jesus Christ. And yes, bringing them to Bible class and taking advantage of that opportunity and having them here with us. But beyond that, it's so very important that they see Christ modeled in our lives, that we live the faith out. Because you know what happens? Our children grow up, and there's these two ages that are calling to them. And if they haven't, by the time they become in their teens or their young adult years, really come to develop a personal relationship and a walk and their own faith in God Himself, we're going to find that other age calling them off and enticing them away. As we make decisions about how we spend the time that we have with our children, it's so important to include Bible study and worship and prayer. In times when we talk to our kids about the fact that they live in this time where, yes, the old world is still around us and it still calls to us, but we've come into a new world, the world of the gospel, the world of faith. It's so important for us to know when we are living and to allow that to inform us about the decisions that we make. It even impacts our relationship with God. Knowing the time that we live in, we want to spend time with God. We want to spend time in His Word. We want to spend time in prayer because we need His help. We need His strength. We live in a critical time, a time in which we need a relationship with God so desperately, not only for our own survival, but so that we can be effective in reaching out to others. If you knew that the old age would pass away in the next month or two, that this old age would completely pass away and the dawn of the new age would fully come about through the return of Jesus Christ, is there anything in your life that you would want to change? I know we think, well, yeah, I'd quit my job because, of course, I'm not talking about it from that standpoint. I'm just saying, as you contemplate the reality of the dawning of the new age and the imminent return of Jesus to bring the consummation of His kingdom about and the end of this present world, is there something in your life that needs to change? Is there some sin or desire that you would want to turn from and to master with the help of God? Is there some person that you would want to have a conversation with about Christ because you know the days are so short until He returns? Is there something in your family dynamic that you would want to give attention to in the relationships with your family to prepare for the coming of the Lord? Would you be more driven to your knees to seek the presence of God and His power in your life on a personal basis? It is so very important for us to know what time it is and that we live in this critical time and how it should impact our lives. I turn again to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Our brother read to us a few moments ago. And hear it now after considering what Paul said in Romans. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, you are not in the darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Be alert. Be self-controlled. You're a child of light. Recognize the time and live accordingly. My dad and I walked away from the gate. We couldn't believe it. Our hopes were dashed. Oh, that dream trip, that wonderful time with Grandma and Grandpa, the time with Uncle Tommy, it was gone. And to add insult to injury, our luggage was on its way to Chicago by now. So we made our way over to a bank of telephones in the gate area. This was 1969, so it was a payphone for us. Dad got some coins out of his pocket. See, we still had our coins because there wasn't any security to go through. And he put the coins in the phone and dialed our home number. At which time, sometime now it's about 12:30 a.m., the phone's ringing at our house and Mom is waking up to that delightful sound. And I'm thinking she's probably about to say something I've heard before. Maybe something like, do you know what time it is? But about the time it phone rings number four, number five, there is a blaring sound over the PA system that says, Mr. Shields, please return to gate number 30. Dad hung up the phone on Mom. We thought, we'll explain later. And we ran to the gate. We don't know exactly what happened, but the plane had to pull back in to the gate. When it did, they had to extend the jetway and connected it, and they opened up the door. And they said, if you'll run down that jetway, you can get on the plane. And we did. And we didn't even mind the very angry stares of all the people on the plane who thought, who are these two guys? And how did they manage to delay our trip? We didn't care. And that next day, we pulled up to Grandma and Grandpa's house on Main Street in Hartford City. That night, Friday night, Dad and I took a walk up Main Street, up to the courthouse. That's what you do in Hartford City. It's a county seat. We walked around the courthouse. It was snowing. It was so cool. I'll never forget that night. Just Dad and I walking his hometown, having conversations. Next day, spent with Uncle Tommy. I won't go into the details of that, but it was a great day. Spent with my dad's brother. I think of this a lot. I really do. It impacted me because it was such an obvious thing to us. We lost track of time, and not only did we lose track of time, but we did so by giving attention to lesser things. A lousy, crummy hot dog, not even a good one. And that hot dog nearly ruined one of the greatest times I've ever had with my dad. My grandpa died the next spring. This was an important trip in my life. But I've thought so many times since then how easy it is in life to forget what time it is, to get distracted. And we find our attention going to all these other things. Find things, perhaps, engaging things, interesting things, but they pull us away from what's most important. They pull us away from what's lasting. We get involved with them, and we may find ourselves missing the most important blessing that life could possibly hold for us, and that's eternal life in the presence of God Almighty and His Son, Jesus Christ. And so it's important for us to remember when we are. The sun's rising. It's a new day. Christ has come. He reigns. He's coming back. This is just at that moment. Just twilight's giving away and the sun's rising, and we find ourselves caught between the darkness and the light, but not caught in a certain sense, because we will be people who will take the opportunities that God places before us, because we're people of the light. We'll look for opportunities to serve, to make a difference in people's lives, to share Christ, because we know the time is short. There's nothing left to happen but Jesus Himself to return. And so we put on the armor of light. We clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. We look for every opportunity to serve and make an impact and share the good news of Jesus Christ, because we understand the time and we understand its brevity and we understand how precious it is to have this moment to be right with God. And we pray that God would use us to reflect the light of His Son and the light of His kingdom to this world around us that still is in the shadows and in the darkness, that they may come to know the light and the salvation that's found in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, let's remember when we are. And if you're at a point in your life where you're seeing when you are and the opportunity God is giving you now to come to Him, to make all things right through the blood of Christ, we invite you to your Savior, to be obedient to Him. But may we all be encouraged to clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh, because we know when we live. Let's stand together as we sing.